This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
By the way, minding my own business at CVS over the weekend. A man that I've never seen before, big fan of the show. How come you don't do, is this a real college or not anymore? Sam Houston State hammers Letourneau, Lewarno, or Leshorno. The people are finding me and saying, do more, and I don't know what to say. Or they beat Glore.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I get this reputation on the show as being like just awful. The worst.
You are awful.
On 98.7 ESPN.
How dare you say I'm awful? I'm a nice man. DPHRO Rothenberg presented as always by Progressive Insurance. And guests on this very show like Rex Ryan at 7:35 this morning appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Here's what I'll say. And I feel like you and I have very similar takes on our teams today. They won. That's great. You feel good about it. You enjoy it. I think even more so for the Giants because you beat the Eagles. They needed the game. You made their playoff hopes maybe disappear. Wonderful. But these are not good football teams. And already I'm getting tweets of, you know, the Giants are a game out of the postseason, and how could you say, stop it. Stop it. And the quarterbacks are real issues because Daniel Jones didn't look good at all, and neither did Zach Wilson. So I feel like the Jets and Giants very similar in what they brought to the table yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of the same. I mean, Jason Garrett got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And you were hoping it would look different. And it looked different, but it was the same result.
Right. It's that, listen, you could have Bill Walsh, Don Coryell. It doesn't matter what offensive genius. They're not good. So I don't care who's running this offense. It's not good.
No, it's not good. And that's a problem because now moving forward, it sounds like, and it's finally being reported, we've been talking about this for how many months, that Dave Gettleman is gonna choose to retire or step away. So you'll be looking for your next GM. And it feels like Joe Judge is going to be back. So you're going to try to line that up. But what are we doing with the quarterback? What are we doing with Saquon Barkley? I mean, the quarterback especially, that's a humongous question.
Well, is the quarterback Joe Judge's guy? I mean, we don't know that. He inherited this quarterback. Maybe he's out there saying, I want my own guy. I never wanted Daniel Jones. I was hamstrung with Daniel Jones.
Well, the other thing, though, too, is you have no money moving forward. Like, next year, your salary cap is a mess. So, I mean, how, as bad as the offensive line is, like, how are we fixing that?
Because last offseason you decided it's going to have to be through the draft.
Well, but last offseason you decided, you know what? We don't need Rashawn Slater. Instead, we'll take the extra draft pick in Kadarius Toney.
Correct.
And Kadarius Toney hasn't stayed healthy. That's been another problem.
Not even a little bit. He was hurt in training camp. He was hurt at the start of the season, and now he's just in and out. And it's constantly something. It's an ankle. It's whatever. It's a foot. It's always something with this guy. But you're going to have to hope that the next GM is competent and capable where he could take, I mean, right now, what do they have, 6-7? So you're talking about two top 10 selections, and then you have 2/3, 2/4, and fix the offensive line. Because you're not going to be able to go out there and say, let's bring in this year's Nate Solder, where we need an offensive lineman. Not that he's great by any stretch, but you're not going to have the money to bring in the biggest, best offensive lineman in this free agent class.
Yeah, but I'm sick and tired, man. It's the same song and dance every single year, it feels like. Same one every single year. I mean, we took phone calls earlier in the show. Well, how could you judge Daniel Jones? The offensive line stinks and he's got no one to throw the ball to. Really? That's what we're doing now? I know Sterling Shepard didn't play and Kadarius Toney didn't play. But, I mean, you had Saquon Barkley.
You had
Kenny Galladay. You had Darius Slayton.
Stop it.
Evan Ingram.
Really, stop it. It's a terrible cop-out reason, rationale for why Daniel Jones wasn't good. You want to say the offensive line is not good? I'm there for that. The offensive line is not good. But I think you have to start to get to the point where you say, is this guy the future quarterback? And I don't know the answer. And if you said you have to choose right now, I think I'd have to say no. And I know that you feel even more strongly that you are not in the Daniel Jones camp right now.
And I would say he's not. I would say he's not the guy.
You feel strongly about that?
And it pains me to say that, though, because I like the kid a lot. Like, the, I mean, the intangible things I really like. I think he's really a, he's a tough kid. And I think he's got the, and I'll keep saying it, I think he's got the right kind of demeanor to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. I just don't know if talent-wise he's got what it takes.
This year, have you watched a game and you said to yourself, boy, he's special? I mean, last year, did you watch a game and say he's special? You had one or two of those 3 years ago now. Listen, I tend to agree with you that Daniel Jones looks like he's not the answer. And to incorporate the Jets in here, too, now you're way earlier in the game, but, I mean, you saw a lot more from Daniel Jones year one than you've seen from Zach Wilson this year with this team.
No, but Zach Wilson's in his first year. I mean, that's the difference.
Right, but Daniel Jones looked good in year one.
He looked better. Yeah, of course. I mean, he threw.
He looked better in year one than Zach Wilson looks in year one.
Well, I don't even think that's a question. That's not even a question. I mean, Zach Wilson looks lost. But, I mean, the hope is, okay, you look good in year one. Now you progress moving into year two. And by year three, you've established yourself as the franchise quarterback.
That's correct.
And Daniel Jones hasn't done that. And part of this is that Dave Gettleman drafted him with a sixth overall pick, which was probably too high at the time.
But everybody laughed at that, remember? Well, the Giants think they know something that nobody knows. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget when they, I mean, I might have texted you the second they made that pick. Because they had the two first-round picks that year.
That's right.
And we thought, okay, they would, if they wanted Daniel Jones, which we were getting, I mean, every indication was that Dave Gettleman likes Daniel Jones, that they would wait till the second pick.
Right, which was, what, 17, which is where they took Dexter Lawrence. They actually had three first-round picks because they moved up to take DeAndre Baker as well.
Yep.
I mean, listen, I think it's fair to say that Dave Gettleman's done a terrible job.
Awful.
Right? He's just done a terrible job. And thank God
I tried in the past.
Stop it, Santiago. He's going to be removed from his role, or he's going to retire, whatever the case may be. And you can move in a different direction. But then I think, back to the original point, we'll get to the calls in a moment, 800-919-3776, is, you know, new GM obviously will have no allegiance to Daniel Jones. This coach has no allegiance to Daniel Jones. Is he back for a fourth year with this team?
Right now, today? I would say probably not.
Now, I know you don't think so, but you believe the Giants will move on from him after 3 years?
Well, you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to pick up his fifth-year option, which is fully guaranteed.
Correct.
Okay, so, I mean, has he shown you enough to say, okay, I'm going to pick up his fifth-year option? I mean, the reason why you gave yourself that extra first-round pick was in case he didn't prove to you that he was capable of being the franchise quarterback, because you're not wrong. And you saw it with the Jets. Sam Darnold was not Joe Douglas's guy. Sam Darnold was not Robert Saleh's guy. And what happens when you decide to move on from your quarterback and draft a quarterback, or what I suggested is just go hard after Russell Wilson, which would change everything immediately, is now all of a sudden expectations get reset and the fan base pretends for a minute that they're going to be patient, which they're not.
It's hard to be patient when you've been bad for so long.
That's the thing, though. These teams need to recognize that, is that that doesn't, all the losing doesn't go away. You can't just, this isn't Men in Black where you draft the quarterback, we look at the light, and then it erases our memories.
I like that movie.
I love that movie, but we've been dealing with bad football, with terrible teams, two of the worst teams in the NFL record-wise.
And you could argue the two worst teams in football over the last 5 years. Let's go to some calls. Jordan in Montclair. Jordan, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. I just want you to tell me what Daniel Jones did wrong yesterday that makes you think he's not the guy. This guy's never had a good offensive line. He's never had the same three wide receivers to throw to in a consecutive game. He has a tight end who constantly tries to give the ball to other teams. I mean, the guy's a tough guy. We know that. He's a smart guy. He works hard. Give him a line. Give him a consistent running back. Give him some wide receivers that are actually on the field. Maybe then you'll see that he's a good quarterback.
And if you don't?
Yeah, but the whole reason why you draft, but
I mean,
here's
Daniel
the thing,
Jones
though.
Going into a problem this year.
Jordan, stop, man. He's not. Was he part of the problem yesterday? I mean, it's a game that they won. Was he part of the problem? No, but he's not. I mean, he's not the reason why you're winning football games. He's not. When you draft a quarterback with a sixth overall pick, he's expected to elevate the talent around him.
He's not a special talent.
No,
like,
he's not.
You never watch Daniel Jones and think, you watch Justin Herbert and you think to yourself, special talent. Even though there's still maturation and growing, you know, growing pains you're going to have to deal with. Yesterday, right? The interception in the end zone, we talked about it. Issues, right? Listen, I don't think he's great. Tua has gone from, God, this guy looks terrible and he's hurt, he's going to miss, to all of a sudden, Tua in year two looks a lot better and feels like maybe he's taken that next step. Joe Burrow's just a different level. Like you knew it from the second he took the field. Okay? It just, that Daniel Jones is not that guy. He's not. Now, I'm not saying they don't roll it back again for another year. I don't know what their plan is and what they'll do, but I think you have to be walking towards the point where you don't think he's going to be the guy for the future for this team.
Yeah, but at a certain point, Dave, you can't expect everything to always be perfect. That's not why. I mean, that's not why you draft a quarterback that high in the draft, because it's not always going to be perfect. Like, you take a quarterback that high in the draft knowing that he's going to make up for some of your deficiencies. Like, you don't have to hit on every free agent, hit on every draft pick, because your quarterback's that good. Daniel Jones right now is not that good. No. So we spend every day after every Giants game talking about how bad the offensive line is.
You have to fix this offensive line, though.
And how bad Kenny Golladay, how bad a signing that was, and everything else. Like, at a certain point, and I know Dave Gettleman sucks at his job, but the amount of draft picks, high draft picks in money they've spent on the offensive side of the ball. In a game yesterday where you created four turnovers, you scored 13 freaking points. And the guy who caught the touchdown was his first catch ever.
Yeah, who nobody knew who he was before he caught that touchdown.
The only reason you knew who he was because he was running the route when your quarterback decided to throw it to the center.
Yeah, that wasn't great by any stretch.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
How about Santiago, who made the misstep of not playing the Frenzy Open last week, but he's got it on lockdown this week. DiPietro and Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. There's going to be some straight talk in the Frenzy, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. 1-800-919-3776. On Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. A lot of tweets pouring in, a lot of calls pouring in. Let's go. Rapid fire. Rick, I'm not going to ask you if you're ready. I know you are. Will, in the car, you're on the Frenzy.
Hey, with the upcoming draft being weak in QB, if not, give me a name. I still believe.
I try to trade for Russell Wilson is what I try to do. That's what I do. It sounds like he wants to play in a big market. So have
what are
that.
You giving up? I mean, you're giving up the two top 10 picks for Russell Wilson.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. And then I guess you try to trade Daniel Jones for, I mean, if Darnold got a second, he might be able to get you something in return.
Yeah, but that would change things instantly. Because I don't know. I mean, have you seen any quarterbacks? I mean, we haven't really dug into it yet, but have you seen any quarterbacks that you say, okay, this is going to be my guy?
There's no Trevor Lawrences. There's no, like, elite. There are good quarterbacks, but I don't think there's... I mean, there's a kid from Pitt that people like, from Corral. There's a kid from Liberty, but I don't think there's anybody at that
level. The NFL is set up for offenses, especially quarterbacks, to go out and score points, and the Giants cannot do it. They can't. And they scored 13 points yesterday. They're the worst red zone team in the NFL.
They're bad. They are bad. Michael in Lincoln Park. You're on the Frenzy, Mike.
Did Dave Delman get fired before the season ends, or did they wait till the end?
No. Well, let me ask you this, and thanks for the question. What is the point? The guy's already ruined the franchise. He's made horrendous move after horrendous move. Stop it, Santiago. What is the point
in the past
of firing him or having him retire now? What's the point? And I don't like it to begin with.
It would be to get a head start.
But I've heard they're already kind of, putting feelers out there. So it's not like that eliminates them from doing that. So I don't know. I don't understand the point of that, why you would actually move on.
Well, it sounds like they're in agreement, is that he's gone, but they're going to let him keep his dignity and not fire him. He's going to decide he's going to retire.
Right. I wonder if he becomes like a computer person for somebody. Bert tweets in, more concerning, Roethlisberger or the defense with Pittsburgh?
Oh, I think it's Roethlisberger.
Well, he's done.
He's done.
That's a team that desperately needs a quarterback. Interesting question. I think the answer is definitively yes. from Joey Bag of Donuts. Do you think there's a real chance of a Tampa Bay New England Super Bowl? Yes. Right?
I'll say no just because history would tell you that a rookie quarterback getting to the Super Bowl doesn't happen.
Listen, they have a chance at the one seed. I mean, next Monday night, ESPN, this is a huge game. Buffalo and New England. If New England can win that game, now it's in Buffalo, but if New England can win that game and they play them again in a couple weeks, they could wind up with the one seed. You would pick against them?
No, I'm not saying I would pick against them. I'm just saying history would tell you that a rookie quarterback going to the Super Bowl doesn't happen.
He doesn't look like a rookie quarterback.
No, he doesn't. And they're playing the best. I mean, they're right now one of the best teams in football.
Absolutely, they are. Jonathan Green. What percentage chance do you give both Jones and Barkley to be the opening day starters in 2023? Barkley will be the opening day running back next year.
Yeah, they already picked up his option.
Although he says 2023, so I'm wrong, actually. So 2023? I think there's a chance. I would say 50-50 that both guys are starting in 2023.
I think it might be a little bit less than that. A little bit less than that. Because, again, I mean, you're going to have a new GM, right? So, how long is the new GM going to stick with Daniel Jones?
And how can you... what I don't understand is, how can you pay Saquon Barkley $14 million a year?
Oh, you can't. Well, no, you wouldn't. You're not going to give him a long-term deal. I mean, unless all of a sudden...
If he's your running back in year five, he's going to be getting paid.
No, I don't think his fifth-year option is that crazy. I think he makes... I want to say he makes less in his fifth-year option than he's making this year. I'll tell you in a second. Continue.
All right. You look that up. 1-800-919-3776. John Nix tweets in, how many wins this season guarantees Joe Judge is back as Giants coach next year? I don't think Judge is going. I've said this from the jump. We've heard this from Renan, Mike Tenenbaum as well. I don't think it even matters the wins. I think that unless something catastrophic happens down the stretch, I firmly believe that this is your head coach next season.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, we've had Renan on a couple different times, and he's adamant that Joe Judge is going to come back. Saquon makes 7-2 next season.
But how about 2 years? Next year's year four for him.
No, next year's year five for him.
This is his fourth year?
This is his fourth year.
Yeah, so year one he was really good. Year two he got hurt and wasn't great. Year three he was hurt. This next year, wow.
It's year four, so next year he's on his fifth year option at 7-2, and then he's unrestricted. You could franchise him.
Because he was taken the year before Daniel Jones in 2017. God, it goes quickly, huh?
It goes fast, man.
It really does. Tommy in Queens. Tommy, you're on the frenzy.
Once we get rid of that Boston bum, Dave Gettleman, do we finally hire the person that we should have hired, Lewis Riddick?
I'm not of that mindset that's the definitive, no. Not by any stretch.
No, I'm not confident in that either.
What I would do? I would, and I don't know that they will, and they certainly have no track record with this organization, because you have to think it might be someone from New England. I would call Baltimore, and I would figure out a way to get the smartest, youngest, most talented executive in that room into my room.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I would hate to see have happen with the Giants, is that they limit the talent pool. They limit their options because they're trying to keep the head coach. Because, again, I don't know how many guys, the most qualified guy isn't going to want to come in and be saddled with and be told, this is going to be your head coach, is
probably
he?
Not. No, and that's why I of the mindset, you're probably going to hire someone with a New England background that knows Judge, that they have a relationship, and he likes Judge, and they want to work together. But you're right. You absolutely will limit yourselves, but that's what the Giants are going to do. And I don't even think that's up for debate. I think that's what the Giants definitively will in fact do. All right. Well, that's it. Santi, blow it dead.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Rex, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing really well. Let's make some news here. Let's take shots at somebody, at everybody, Rex.
Sure, why not?
Spot,
it's what
on
we
the
do.
Spot today. All right, so... seriously, we'll start with the Jets. We'll get to the Giants as well. Maybe go around the league a little bit with you. Jets win. That's great. The one thing that Jets fans want to know is, do they have a quarterback? And, I mean, I know you like him, but he was not good yesterday. It's hard to feel good right now about Zach Wilson, I would think.
Well, I mean, look, he played like a rookie. There's no question about it. And But anybody expect different? I mean, here he's been on the shelf for about a month. He comes back in, you know, off injury and things that you knew it was going to be difficult for him. And here's the thing that's crazy. Like, Houston actually plays that they can do a decent job in pass defense. So I didn't expect a great game by him. But yeah, I mean, there's no question he played like a young, inexperienced rookie quarterback. There's no doubt. But the thing I was encouraged with by Zach Wilson was, number one, when he got his head ripped off and he still stood on his feet trying to make a play without a helmet. I'm like, oh, the kid's got a little toughness to him. And then when he made that touchdown run at the end, the game-winning run, I was impressed with that. You know, a kid coming off a knee injury or a leg injury and being able to make that play. It shows you he's got that kind of grit and that kind of toughness. So you like to see it, but other than that, it wasn't a great game on his part, certainly. But the defense, man, where the hell has that defense been? I mean, that defense was smothering. And I look at it when he had five quarterback sacks, but it felt like 10. Like, they were all over. They didn't let him breathe. And that's about as good a defensive game as I've seen the Jets play in years.
Yeah, Franklin Myers finally showed up. I mean, I guess, listen, playing in Texas, it suits him well. Rex, let me ask you a question just as far as, you know, your philosophy for developing a young quarterback, because I think part of I don't want to use the word panic, but there is some trepidation with Zach Wilson because he hasn't looked good. You said he looked like a rookie, which I agree with you, but now he's dealing with a knee injury. He's clearly not 100%. But it's a lack of trust, right? The organization, we're still looking for a quarterback. We haven't done a good job developing quarterbacks. You saw what happened with Sam. Like, philosophically, two-part question. What is, you know, how would you personally try to develop a young quarterback? And why are we in such a rush to just throw them out there and hope that they can figure it out?
Well, I think first off, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, by the end of that first year, you want to know what you have. I mean, that generally speaking, that's kind of the way it is. I remember the Giants did that with Eli Manning. You know, hey, look, we get Kurt Warner. Nothing wrong with Kurt Warner, and they benched him because they wanted to see what they had in Eli Manning. He knew that was the future moving forward. And the Jets are a little different. They immediately went to Zach Wilson as their starter. And look, I did the same thing with Sanchez, whether that's a right move, a wrong move, or whatever. He gave us – he was clearly the most talented guy that I had, so I played him. He won the job, and I played him. And that's what happened with Zach Wilson. But now it's almost like this year – look, the Jets aren't going to the playoffs, so we get that. So now it's about his development. Let's get him improving that way at the end of the year, we're feeling good about this quarterback, that he's gotten better. You know, he hadn't stayed at the same level or whatever. He gets better. And I think if that happens, then that's going to be a success. And then the defense, you know, just keep improving, because help's clearly on the way in the offseason, you know, on that defense. So, you know, they made a big – like, I was watching the game, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, this team looks like – I mean – this defense was rocket out there. And yeah, I know it's against an opponent that you know, is not good, but at the same time, they still did it. And, you know, so if the defense can improve and the quarterback can improve, those are positive signs. I like the fact the Jets got the running game going and they stayed with it. That's what they run it like 30 some times in the game. I don't have the stat. Well, actually, I do. Let me see. But I think it was like, you know,
34 close to, times.
Yep. Yeah, 34 times. And that's pretty good. They stayed with it. That's a quarterback's friend as well. And that's part of it. You want to be balanced. This, you know, to win in the National Football League consistently, you got to be balanced. And so I was encouraged by that offensively. And then the quarterback, I was like, oh, shoot. You know, he definitely – you know, had his ups and downs in that game. More downs than ups.
But at least they got the win. Rex Absolutely. Ryan with us, 98.7 ESPN, every Monday as he joins us at 7:35. So, Rex, we heard a soundbite from Zach earlier saying, you know, he's just the easy throws, the underneath throws, he throws it so hard. And, I mean, it seems strange to me that, you know, there's like little passes in the flat, and it seems, I don't know, almost overwhelming for him. Are we reading too much into it? Like, is this a guy that you look at and you say, he's going to be fine? Or you've seen him for quite a bit in his rookie season and another day yesterday, and it's just there are some red flags and there are some real things that there should be concerned about. Or no. Or is it year one, calm down, everyone, this kid's going to be fine?
Hey, I can say this. It's hard to win in this league as a rookie. And you can look at Joe Burrow last year, you know, as good as he is. You can look at, you know, all these damn, you know, all these quarterbacks. It's tough, man. Look, there's the speed of the game is so different. You got to learn how to throw guys open. You got to learn how to throw the ball on time. You can't hold the ball, and those are things that that you got to learn. It's just it's such a thing that speeds up. Sometimes when that happens, your quarterback speeds up. Like, in other words, he doesn't do it naturally and calmly. He kind of is rushing things. He knows he needs to get it out, but he looks hurried. The great, like, you know, this kid in New England, it looks so different. He looks like a poised veteran because he doesn't look nervous. He doesn't, you know, he looks completely comfortable. And that's what we knew when he came out of Alabama. He had that kind of training. We knew he'd be ahead of Zach Wilson at this time. However, the ceiling for this kid that we have with the Jets is super high. I'm just telling you, it's high. I always said the most athletic quarterback we've had since, or most talented quarterback since Joe Namath, and I believe that. Is it going to take time? Yes, he's coming from a program that wasn't like Alabama. It wasn't on the national stage. And it's just going to take a little time to develop him. But again, that's why the rest of this season, let's see some improvement from this kid. And I want to see LaFleur too, the young coordinator, that, you know, to grow with him. That, hey, look, this is what we're going to become. Here's going to be some signs that this offense is coming. Look, over the last month, the offense has done well. Now we got to keep it going with this young quarterback. And if that happens, man, I feel good about it.
Rex Ryan joins us here on the show. Rex, let's switch gears to the Giants for a second. So Jason Garrett gets fired. It was his fault. Now we have Freddie Kitchens. But, I mean, more of the same. It looked a little bit different, but still, I mean, only 13 points. Just give me your assessment of what you're seeing right now from the Giants offense.
Well, hell, it was better because the guard actually competed this game. The last time we saw, when Jason Garrett was back there, Will Hernandez, that right guard, he couldn't block anybody. So, you know, that was a problem. You know, that was problematic. But again, this team, it looked like it was able to breathe a little bit. I understand they only scored 13 points, and in most games, obviously, probably 95% of the time, you score 13 points, you're not going to win a game. But to the Giants' credit, it was their defense that played really well. And let's face it, the best player that the Giants had on the field was Jalen Reagor, because that dude was god-awful. He dropped two touchdown passes, or we're singing a different story today.
You're right. I love him. I actually bought a Jalen Reagor jersey after the game yesterday. He was such a special talent. Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Of course, he has his podcast with Bart Scott, Organized Chaos. You can get that wherever you get your podcast. So, how much of the offensive blame, Rex, in your mind, is on Daniel Jones, and how much is it? Because people go two ways here. They either blame Jones and he stinks and he's not good, or he's just not given a fair chance because the offensive line is just so bad. So let me ask you that. How much is on Jones in your mind, and how much is on the offensive line?
Well, and it sounds like I see things through, you know, rose-colored glasses on Daniel Jones, but I do see a talented, athletic quarterback. You know, but it almost feels like he's regressed since his rookie year, and that's not a good thing. So we'll see. He's, you know, the turnovers aren't as bad this year as they've been in the past, so that's an improvement. But if you can't block anybody, then I don't care who the heck's your quarterback, you're going to struggle. And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, obviously he'll be here next year and be the starting quarterback, and we'll see. But they got to get better up front. I mean, that's where it starts, obviously. And then, you know, have you ever seen a team like this? Team's ravaged with injuries. It seems like, you know, Saquon Barkley always hurt. Evan Ingram always hurt. You know, now you got Kadarius Toney, who I'm super excited about, always hurt. You know, and it just, it's like, dang, can we get our guys on the field? And if that happens, the Giants get their guys on the field, that's kind of what we're waiting on. And unfortunately, I don't know if the whole group has been healthy all season. So they got plenty of excuses to make, but it starts, if you can't block them, it doesn't matter what the hell you got at quarterback.
Rex, let me ask you this question because you've been through it. So it sounds like Dave Gettleman is—he won't be fired, but apparently he'll walk away at the end of the season, retire, whatever it ends up being. And it feels like Joe Judge is coming back. You've been a part of that dynamic. What is it like when you know you're the coach of the team, and then now all of a sudden you have you know a GM that comes in that isn't necessarily your guy? How does that work?
Yeah, well, we saw how that worked for me. I mean, hey, when Tannenbaum and I were together, my record was a hell of a lot better than it ended up. So, yeah, no, if you're not singing out of the same hymnal, that's a disaster, dude. I mean, unfortunately, I was a part of a couple of those situations, and it doesn't go well. And, you know, so if Judge really is coming back – as the coach, then hopefully the GM will have some connection to him, and or at least be on the same page, and not butting heads with him, and not trying to bring players in that fit different systems and not your own damn system. That's the thing that I ran into, and it was you know, and obviously it didn't work. And look, I saw it coming. I was laughing about it. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? That's why when it happened, I'm like, hey, every coach, just get the hell out of here if you can. Go. Because we had no chance. And, you know, and then we go 8-8. That'd be a damn statue of me out there, you know, for that team. But really, you've got to be on the same page. And I know the Giants, look, this is a proud franchise. I get it. So are the Jets, man. It pisses me off when nobody includes the Jets in that. But it's, you know, you got to be on the same page. That's why I think it's sometimes easier to start over and say, okay, if we're gonna move on from the GM, should we move on from the coach as well? You know, and see if it works, because it's almost like, are you forcing a marriage here? You know, with a guy and it, you know, it could be that Joe Judge has got you know, some GM candidate comes in and loves, you know, Joe Judge, you know, who, I don't know if that's possible, but likes him, you know, maybe that's more like it.
All right, Rex, we appreciate it. You got giggles over here. Just thinks you're the greatest. So I like you as well. But Rex, we'll talk to you next Monday. Have a great week, and thanks as always.
All right. Take care, guys.
We'll talk to you. You love Rex, huh?
The subtle little shot.
Yeah, I know.
I like
fun.
I like the subtle shots.
I know. You're a big fan of that. That's the Rex Ryan Report, brought to you by NYSSPCA, the New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association, the most highly trained and skilled structural painters in the world, and by Guinness, now an official beer of the New York Football Giants. The Irish Brewers giving back this holiday season with its Guinness Gives Back 8-packs. Look for these limited edition special packs with a design inspired by New York. Learn more at guinnessgivesback.com. And who can forget the Pigskin Payout? Here's your shot to qualify for the Week 13 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 ESPN Sportsbook and win up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Jets and Philadelphia Eagles game. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify. We'll be selecting our winners this Friday, so keep it locked into DiPietro and Rothenberg and, of course, the Michael Kay Show right here on 98.7 ESPN for your chance at the Pigskin Payout. You know, in listening to Rex, and I think he's right, I find it, the Giants are going to bring back Daniel Jones for next year. I think next year will be his last opportunity to succeed as a Giants quarterback. I'm not saying that's the right move to make. I would just be surprised if they give up after 3 years on this guy.
Well, unless a better option, I mean, becomes available. I mean, you're as loyal as your options. If it turns out that Russell Wilson's a legitimate option and he wants to be a New York Giant, you're not going to make that deal because you want to bring Daniel Jones back for another year?
No, I think you would. I mean, you're going to start mortgaging the future to a team that's maybe not built to win right now?
Something has to change. Because, I mean, you can't. So what you're telling me now is you're going to roll back Daniel Jones, and God forbid that doesn't work out, and now you're going to, the year we actually have two first-round picks, you're not going to address the quarterback position. You'll bring Daniel Jones back, and he stinks again, and now we're back where?
Well, then you're going to make a move. I mean, if he stinks again, you're going to have another top eight pick.
Yeah, but you're not going to have the two first-round picks to now, if you have to get up in the draft to get the guy you want.
I think it's interesting because, listen, I think we agree, right, that Joe Judge is going to be back. And like we've said, and I think this is kind of the calling card, this is not Joe Judge's guy. He inherited Daniel Jones and would said, try to make it work. So think about this now. He inherited a quarterback that maybe he didn't like, and he inherited an offensive coordinator or was forced to hire an offensive coordinator who he wanted to move on from that he wasn't allowed to that he didn't like as well. So I don't know. I don't know what
he made
his feeling on Daniel Jones is.
But that's why he made the move when he made the move. Now, he probably, if it was solely up to him, he probably would have made it sooner. But now, I mean, Freddie Kitchens is his guy. So I'm sure Joe Judge is asking the same question. Like, I mean, if I go into next year and lose and things don't turn around in a hurry, I'm going to get fired. So he needs to win too next year.
Oh, 100%.
So if Freddie Kitchens can't figure this thing out and Daniel Jones doesn't get any better as the season progresses, then, I mean, something's going to have to give.
It's going
to
be a conversation all offseason because you have real quarterbacks that are going to switch teams. Aaron Rodgers, you have to think, is going to switch teams. Russell Wilson's going to switch teams. Right? I mean,
Jimmy Garoppolo will be available. I mean, there'll be options.
Right? Deshaun Watson's going to switch teams. And there are teams that need quarterbacks.
Yeah. No, it's a legitimate question because you heard Rex, and he loves Daniel Jones. He feels like he's regressing.
It's hard to argue with that right now. I mean, their offense is just, it's but so that's the thing, though. So bad.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Okay, he's limiting the turnovers. There's still a lot of turnovers. But don't sacrifice the production for not turning the football over.
Yeah.
Like, I like that you're not turning the football over, but I need some production. I need some production, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we put up 13 points. 13 points yesterday. All right, Santi, it's your time to shine.
Today's three stars. Number three.
All right. Well, first of all, happy Monday to everybody.
Happy Monday.
Even you, Dave Rothenberg.
Don't be mean.
So the musical aspects of this show will continue to live forever.
Good times! Open your head above water!
Because, I mean, and I encourage everybody, always go listen back to the entire podcast, but definitely go listen back to the podcast of Hour 2 as it starts off with one of the great rejoins that RJ's ever made, and that's really high praise, but it also includes...
And Gary, on the kick drum, come, on the kick drum.
And I know you guys got a kick out of that.
Number 2.
Number 2 is going to go to Petty Dave Rothenberg. You know, he should be enjoying himself for the aspects of everyone winning this weekend, but then, of course, you made it all about me and snuck in a dig at Andrew Gutling, but I do appreciate it.
I get this reputation on the show as being like just awful. The worst.
You are awful. You definitely are awful.
Number one.
And number one is actually going to go to what should be celebrated, which is New York sports, which had a fantastic weekend. Giants win, Jets win, Knicks win, Rangers win. Everybody's happy.
And everybody's happy. And that's a beautiful three stars from the great Raymond Santiago. All right, let's bring in our guys. It is J. Will. It is Max. No. And guys, you know, I love talking to you every day, but today especially because... The New York Football Giants didn't just win a game, which is nice. They beat the disgusting Philadelphia Eagles. So we can all sit back and just enjoy the beautiful day that we have today on this Monday.
Well, you would think so. You would think so because the Eagles, and I used to say it as a Giants fan, you know, like I'd rather be the mighty side than the thorn in it, right? Like the Eagles have been the thorn in our side since time immemorial. But I got to tell you guys, the Eagles were giving that game to the Giants, and it's like we didn't want to take it. You know, and by the way, thank God they didn't run the ball more because we couldn't do anything with, you know, a guy. I don't know. Yes, it feels good to beat the Eagles. Let's hurt the – I always am for that. I'm pro that. But damn, man, it's like it's a win that you kind of feel afterwards like this ain't working.
Well, it's not working, but a win is a win, damn it. I don't care what anybody says, guys, and I'll take the win. And I'll tell you – I try to be a little bit more optimistic, boys. So when I see Freddie Kitchens taking over as the OC, and I see Kenny Galladay, I see Evan Ingram targeted 6 times, which matches their highest total, I'm like, okay, like I like a little bit of that transition. I'm not saying I agree with everything that's going on because it's surely chaotic, but there were some positive, somewhat signs to take away from a win. And a win is a win at the end of the day against a rival opponent.
Yeah, but you created four turnovers and you scored 13 points, Jay. Like, at a certain point, like, you're not going to make the playoffs. So the positive you want to take out of the win is, oh, well, you know what? This Freddie Kitchens, this change, firing Jason Garrett, this offense looks like it found something. Daniel Jones looked like he found something. That wasn't the case yesterday. Max was right. They tried. They should have lost the game in actuality.
Guys, yeah. Daniel Jones was reached for at sixth overall. Let me tell you something. When you draft sixth overall, I want that guy to go to the Hall of Fame. Like, either win a Super Bowl, go to the Hall of Fame, or both. I'm not playing games. Like, why should Giants standards be lower than other top franchises? But wait, we're a top franchise, supposed to be.
Wait a second, boys. But we're talking about something that we already know to be the case.
Yeah.
We've known this to be the case.
So what do you do, Jay?
So, like, I think there has to be changes up top.
No,
I think the
change,
it starts with Dave Gettleman. There's no
doubt
about
that.
That.
But Jay, we know that.
You guys
can
tell me something that we know. But you guys are angry about a team that got a win yesterday because it didn't look good. It was
Russell
ugly.
Wilson.
That's always what Giants wins have been. They've been ugly this year.
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and various others are likely to be on the market.
In Seattle, if you're Russell Wilson, to come to this O-line? Are you kidding me?
Nope, that's the problem. What you have to do, you got to back channel with Russell Wilson. Break all the rules. Back channel with Russell Wilson. Let him know Gettleman's gone. We're going to bring in this. As a matter of fact, we're thinking about these GMs. Who do you like? You know, like, set it all up. Get comp. The O-line's much better than it's been in recent years, by the way. So it's getting better.
That says something.
Set it. It does. Set it up. And then go make a move for a real quarterback. Not like, oh, this guy has a chance to one day be the 15th best quarterback in football. Get a real guy.
What do you guys think?
Oh, God. I know Rick wants to move on. I'd probably go one more year, but I don't know. I need Gettleman gone. I need to bring legitimate talent into this organization. Guys, we want to let you go so you have time to get ready for the start of your show at 8 o'clock here in New York on 98.7 ESPN. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day. And Jay, you're right. You beat the Eagles. They're repulsive. Enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes I need to hear
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Sometimes I need
just
to hear
enjoy.
A positive message on the holidays. He's
there
right.
you go.
He's right. We should just
Happy
enjoy
Thanksgiving
it.
To both of you guys. Hope you had a great holiday. We'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. So, Giants win. Jets win. When we start 5 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, is Max Scherzer a Met?
He better be.
So you won't go. You're like a beat writer. You're like a major league insider.
No, unless they're just using the Mets to get a better offer from the Dodgers. I mean, I don't know how you turn down a three year deal at his age for over $40 million a year. I don't know how you turn that down.
You probably can't. And on that note, it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and
the New York Football Giants.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.